We start today, Masechet Sukkah, B'Sha'a Tova U'Mutzlachat, Alavai Sh'Nizkeh, to be able to sit B'Sukkah Tzilo Shelev Yosson. That would be great, Oro Shelev Yosson. Anyway, we start with the Mishnah, which is very, very similar, as you'll immediately see, to the Mishnah that we finished not long ago in Masechet Erevin. And there in Erevin, you'll recall that we actually compared it to the Mishnah in Sukkah, and we asked why we use different Lashonas in Erevin and Sukkah, and we'll go through that Sugya again. So, Sukkashi Gvoha Lamala Miesrim Ama Psula, and Rabbi Yehuda is Makshir. So, if the Sukkah is more than 20 Amot high, what this means is certainly according to the Bavli, although there's a Machlokas in the Yerushalmi, that the distance from the floor of the Sukkah to the bottom of the schach is more than 20 amot. But if the actual sukkah itself extends higher than that, we don't really care, certainly according to our gemara. And therefore, let's say somebody lives this. I actually had a sukkah like this. Somebody lives at the bottom of an apartment complex, right? And so all around him, you may have 40 stories surrounding the little piece that you have on the ground where you're making the sukkah. It doesn't matter that the walls are higher. What matters is the distance from the ground level where you're standing. Doesn't even matter if the ground level is the 20th floor either. So as long as your ground level begins where you're standing and up till the schach, there's only 20 amot, that would be fine. Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't matter how much there is, and he's machshir. Furthermore, if it's not 10 tvachim high, or if it doesn't have three walls, or it has chamatam ruba mitzilta, there's more sunlight than there is shade, in all of these cases, it's psula. And the sunlight and shade is measured according to almost all of the Rishonim, except for the Balayitur. The Balayitur says that if it right on top, it would be even. It would be kosher because Porot Kohamit is kosher. But everybody else argues, and it has to be chamatam ruba mitzilta on top, because if it's a even, it needs to be tzelta merubim b'chamata to be kosher on top, because even if it would be even, by the time the sun reaches the ground level, it has spread, and there it would be chamatam meruba mitzilta, and therefore would be pasul. To be kosher, therefore, it needs to be tzelta meruba mechamata on the top. Ask the Gemara, how come in Erevin, where it said mavui shugavoa meyesri ma'amayima eight, it's almost exactly the same. Reb Yehuda argues over there. He says it doesn't have to be less than esri mama, or it doesn't have to be esri mama. It can be gavoa miyesri mama, but over there it doesn't say pasul, and it doesn't say that what to do here. It doesn't say what to do about it. It just says it's pasul over there. It does say what to do about it. It's a very different approach. So how come over there, Maishna Gabi Sukkah, it says psula, and Maishna Gabi Mavui, where over there it says what to do about it, Tani Takanta? Well, Sukkah Dioraita, I understand if something is a Dioraita, then we can talk about it being Pusul. If something is a Drabonon, I mean, it's not Pusul yet. We're making a Pusul now. We're saying it's Pusul. In other words, the Sukkah exists as a given. Before this Mishnah was ever dreamt of in anybody's mind, it's Pusul. So therefore, when we say the din, we're referring to something that exists outside of the Mishnah that the Mishnah is reporting on. But when we're talking about a Drabonon, it's this Mishnah that's being conveyed. It's halacha. I mean, we can't say it's somehow pasul from a given. It's not a given. That's how Rashi understands the difference. There are certainly other approaches to understanding the difference between a D'oraisa and a Drabonon. So Tosfos suggests that maybe the deal is that since if you would just say Yima'et, people might think about a sukkah that Yima'et means l'chatchila be mamayet. It's a good thing to be mamayet. So we want you to know that it literally means your pasul and you weren't yotze your sukkah midyaraisa at all. So, and that would be true even though we don't like to say the word psula because it's not nice. To say something is possible, but nonetheless, we'll do that. Mashenken and Rabbanan, we don't have any chashash. Or we could say, says Tosfos, that if we would have said that Yima'et in Sukkah, it would have been mashma that it's a chiyah to be mamayit, but it's only a chiyah mirabbana. But when you use the word psula, psula means absolutely, and therefore it's more dioraita sounding. Okay, so we have three possibilities as to why we would prefer not to use the word yima'et when it comes to the sukkah dioraita. Ibaitema, or we could say, actually, has nothing to do with that. The truth is, bidioraita nami tanitakanta. There would be nothing so wrong with saying yima'et in the sukkah, but the problem is that note that we've said many different things in this Mishnah about the psul altogether. So how exactly we would address all of the various things? That what? If it's too high, make it lower. If it's too low, make it higher. If it only has three walls, it only has two walls, add a wall. if it has too much sun on the top, add schach. I mean, that's not a very effective way of learning. So we're looking for one word that we could use that should be a derech tzar in our limud, mashenkin over there by the mavui. That's all that we were talking about was the height of the mavui. So, okay, so over there we could simply say yima'it. And therefore sukkah, where we have over here many, many issues, and it's nafish milay of the sukkah, so we're going to have to deal with each one of these issues separately, which is very, very awkward. Okay, so therefore, the only reason that's in parentheses is because of the difference between nafish milte or nafishe milta. Okay, but anyway, we're referring to the Mishnah's Lashon and not to the sukkah gufa, but the words obviously have to be there. So the sukkah that has a lot of different issues, it would have to say it the Lashon Ketzara, and therefore posik v'toni psula, amavui delo nafish mile, toni takanta. Anyway, where do we get the idea, Bechlal, that there is a shiur of these 20 amos to the gova hasukkah? Minani mile. Oh, my rabba, I see it in the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Lema'an yedu dorotechem ki basukoto shafti et bnei Yisrael." So now that means "Lema'an yedu" is the pshat that basukot hoshafti. Hoshafti means I make you sit. So the hoshafti would be a lashon of tzivui. I want people to be aware of the tzivui of yeshiva besukkah. And therefore, they need to know at all times that they are sitting in a sukkah shel mitzvah. That's what I want them to know. Because since be'etzem, the idea of a sukkah, bichlal, is more or less to go out camping, right? In other words, to go out, like we're going to see later, go out of your diras arai, go out of your diras kvar, go into a diras arai. So there's a sense of bedavka, feeling that relaxation and that openness. So in order for that itself to be part of the Iker Mitzvah that you're supposed to experience, I want people to know that they're sitting in a sukkah that I was Moshe for them. But it's not referring back, in other words, the drasha is not referring back to the sukkahs of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's referring to the sukkah of the mitzvah, as Gary Alon is showing us. I'm assuming that he's already got everything prepared. So there we go. He didn't want to learn Masechet Sukkah. He's not actually sitting in the sukkah. I don't know. Now we have to worry about whether he's going to be over on Bal Tosif, maybe because he's so into the Gemara, he may like actually think he's in a sukkah shal mitzvah. Okay. So that's the point. So even though the simple meaning of the pasuk is, I want you to know that when I took you out of Mitzrayim, I put you in Sukkot, but the drosh of Hoshafti is that there's a mitzvah at tzivui on the sukkah. And therefore, it can't be too high, because if it's too high, then you don't naturally note the roof if it's that high, if it's esrim ama. So therefore, I say, ad esrim ama adam yodea shudar besukkah, lamalam esrim ama, ein adam yodea shudar besukkah, bishum delosho tabaina. The person is not aware of the fact. Remember what yodea means. Yodea doesn't mean if you ask him or you're sitting in a sukkah. Obviously, that's not what das is. That's what intelligence is. But leman yedu means that you need to be aware of the sukkah. And if awareness is something that needs to impinge on your consciousness, and therefore we want you to actually be seeing it so that it's constantly brought to your attention. And therefore, if it's more than a srim ama, even though you're perfectly aware of the fact that you're sitting in a sukkah and you may have a little beeper going off that says, don't forget sukkah, don't forget sukkah, that is not the same thing as being aware of a sukkah. I mean, that's exactly the difference between being bar mitzvah and not being bar mitzvah. It's not a question of you're knowing something. Okay, so that explains it. You need to be actually sitting in it in a space of awareness. Rabbi Zera Amar Miacha. Rabbi Zera says the issue is because of the fact that it says in the Navi that Vesukati ye letzel yomam mechorev. So now we're talking about Yemos HaMashiach. Yeshayo is describing what it will be like, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect us. There will be a sukkah that will be a tzel yomam from all of the terrible disturbances. And lemichsev, lemistar, mizerem, mimimatar, so there may be tremendous amount of heat, and there may be tremendous storms, and so on. But there will be a sukkah that will protect you, and it will be there from the heat, so that means we understand that it's supposed to be letzel yomam, it's supposed to be for shade in the day. And therefore, you need to be sitting in the shade of the sukkah. And the word sukkah comes from the word for sochech, for something that goes over you, the schach. So then that means that what you need to be in is a roofing that protects you from the sun, and not in a building that protects you from the sun. So if you're sitting ad esrim ama, so up until 20 amot, you are sitting in shade from the roofing. But if you're sitting lamala me'esrim ama, you are not sitting in the shade of the roof at all. You are sitting in the shade of the wall. And the proof of the pudding is if you take away those walls, you will find that you are sitting in the sun and not in the shade. And therefore, if, and we'll see later on that, of course, this is limited by what the dimensions of the sukkah are. I mean, obviously, if you have shade on top that is covering over, 20 meters by 20 meters, then of course you're sitting in the shade. But the Gemara is going to limit the case to particularly a case where the sukkah is of minimal size, and therefore if it is higher than 20 amot, then there's no way that you're going to be protected by the shade. Now, obviously, this is problematic on the simple meaning, because of course, if you put light directly above the sukkah, then of course you are going to be shaded by the schach. I mean, it doesn't matter how tall it is, there's always going to be a patch of shade that will protect you on the bottom. However, when we take into consideration, as the Ritva explains, the mitzvah of the sukkah takes into consideration the mokum of the kiyum of the mitzvah and the zman of the kiyum of the mitzvah. So the place to be mekayim the mitzvah, of course, is in Eretz Yisrael. The time that you're mekayim the mitzvah is during Sukkot. And if you're in the northern hemisphere at a latitude of 31 degrees and you're sitting in a sukkah in October, so then you need to subtract, remember, those 31 degrees from the 90 degrees that you would have had at the equator, even if it would be literally the equinox, right? Which means that the sun is already at a 59-degree angle. By the time you get up to October, the sun's never going to be touching anything on the top of the sukkah. It's only going to be coming into the side. And therefore, at that height, there will be no shade whatsoever. And because of that, we passel the sukkah in those particular cases. Mayor Simcha, does that make sense? I know you've been very troubled with this, sending me all of your geometric analysis over there. problem with the internet again. Okay, sorry. I was going to present your beautiful paper. Okay. Sorry. Okay. We can't hear you. Omele Abaye. I mean, if that's the case, so if you tell me that somebody builds his sukkah at the bottom of the Grand Canyon, so then it's not a sukkah, right? Because, I mean, there's no sun that's going to penetrate it at that time of the year into the Grand Canyon. So you're telling me, Achinami lo havi sukkah, because you're shaded? Because you're at the bottom of this deep chasm? And it's the mountains are giving you the shade and not the schach? I mean, you're telling me there's a problem of the mechitzas giving me a shade? Omar Lay, Rabbi Zera said, no, come on, it's not the same at all. The presence of the sukkah in the Ashtarot Karnayim is completely coincidental to the structure of the sukkah and the mitzvah of the sukkah. You happen to have built it there. So if you take away Ashtarot Karnayim, then you're going to have the shade of your sukkah, right? Mashenkin over here, the very structure itself, if you take away the walls, you will not have any shade. And therefore, it's possible. Because the ikar shame of the sukkah, as Rashi puts it, is al shem haschach, and that's the word sukkah. Rava says, I have a different approach. So now we're going to have three approaches. So one is the idea of Rabba, that you're supposed to be aware, and awareness requires constant intrusion of the schach of the sukkah on you. Therefore, it has to be immediately apparent to your eyes. Rabbi Zera is that you need to be sitting essentially in shade that is provided directly from schach, and not because you happen to be in a building that has schach, but only the walls are preventing the sun from getting to you. And Rava says there's another issue. It says, Basukot teshvu shivat yamim. The teshvu of the shivat yamim. So it's not shiva yamim. In other words, what it's saying is there is something called a shivat yamim sukkah. So that means that we're talking about a seven-day tent, so to speak. In other words, what the Torah wants you to do is ko shivat hayamim. So for this period, you should go into a sukkot of shivat yamim. Tzei midirat keva, v'shev bidirat arai, go out of your normal home and go live in this temporary building. And therefore, ades rimama adamos sedirato dirat arai. So up until 20 amot, you can make like, a temporary kind of thing, a tent that's 20 amot high. Above 20 amot, ein adam oseh dirato dirat arai ela dirat keva. Once you're building at that height, you don't make a building temporary. And therefore, it's also a remez to the height. Amalei Abaye, that doesn't make any sense. What are you telling me that you can't have a sukkah that's made out of metal? Or you can't have a steel sukkah? Where would we get the idea? We never heard such a thing. That what you make the tfanot out of matters? Never heard of it. Is that what you're saying? No, of course not, says Rava. I'm not saying that. Obviously, the sukkah itself is something that needs to be a diras. We're talking about the sukkah. We don't mean, first of all, there's a tremendous question over here, by the way. If you're telling me that you need a diras arai, and yet on the other hand, you're saying, yeah, but it doesn't tell you what it needs to be made out of. It needs to tell you some general idea. That is to say, the kalal is that if you would make something that is, generally speaking, 20 amos high, plus, you would already make it kva. So that's all I'm trying to say is that until Esri Mama, the norm is that you could make it, put up a tent. So therefore, if you make it a dirat kva, it's not a problem because it's not talking about what to make it with. It's talking about how high to make it. But l'malam Esri Mama, over there, the norm is that you would normally make a dirat kva, even if you would make it a dirat arai, you would not be yotze. So that means a rather strange kind of thing. So in other words, we're splitting the pasuk. We're saying that the pasuk is telling me, it can't be telling me that I can only make something that is roi for 7 days. It's going to collapse at the end of 7 days. So it must be coming to tell me some kind of concept. And the concept that we're going to focus on is that it should be the correct height. Now, the question, as Tosfos raises, is that that means that you're saying that it's kosher to have a sukkah that is permanent. But if that's the case, then why is there a problem of gzeirat tikra? Remember, we have a halacha that, first of all, very simple halacha. If it rains during sukkahs, it's a simen klola, right? Everybody knows that. Well, why is it a simen klola, asks Tosfos? Just make yourself a better schach. Put up a roof and make it tight together, and and nail everything in and make it a beautiful roof. What would be wrong with that? Oh, I know what you're going to tell me. That would be terrible because of the Gezerat Tikra, right? And that's okay, but you can't say it's a simin klola because we ushered it on ourselves, min rabbanan. That's what Tosfos asks. So Tosfos has a very big chiddush about the whole sugya here. Tosfos says that when it comes to the schach per se, which is the definition of what the sukkah is, over there it really does have to be arai. That Rav was accepting for sure that it really is telling you arai, and that you cannot make your schach out of something that is mamish, a roof, the way it would normally be. And that's not because gzeras tikra. That's because it needs to be a diras arai. And if it won't let rain get into it, then it won't be a diras arai. And his proof is that if we just brought a pasuk from Yeshayahu that says, sukkat yelet sel yomam mizerem umimatar, then how do we have a right not to say that the same way that the schach has to provide shade, it has to provide protection from a storm? Doesn't it say in Yeshayahu the same lashon about the storm? So it's obvious that we're taking the idea of the ara'ut of the sukkah very seriously. The stat pasuk cannot possibly mean to protect you from the rain, because how could a diras arai protect you totally from the rain? So therefore, our sukkah, we're only learning out from tzel. But we still really have this din of how far do we take the idea of the arai and the keva. So therefore, what Rava is saying is that there's an issue of the arai that affects also the entire idea of the sukkah, and that is not materials, which are irrelevant. It's where I will place the schach. And therefore, that binyan needs to be in a way that is normally a diras arai. So that's tremendous chiddush of Tosfos, that there's a halacha of actual arayos in the schach itself. Now let's take a look at the differences between these various shitas. Why do we have four separate shitas? So kulo karabo lo amrei. Look, I mean, well, so far we see three. Everybody doesn't say like Rabbi Zera and Rava. They don't want to say what Rava says, that it's because of the need for awareness, because they don't hold that the sukkah is talking about your current awareness. They hold that the sukkah is talking about the fact of the understanding throughout the generations. So, ahu yedi ala doroti, what's the portion of meaning? So I want thousands of years later, I want people to be aware of that fact. I don't want them to be aware that they're sitting in a sukkah. I'm not talking about the sukkah shal mitzvah. I'm talking about those sukkahs. And Rabbi Zera, they also didn't want to say the issue of Rabbi Zera, that it has to come, the schach has to be the source of the shade, because that pasuk was not talking about anything that had to do with a sukkah shal mitzvah. That pasuk was talking about Yemot HaMashiach. And it's not referring to, it's talking about, it's a metaphor that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect us from everything at the time that Mashiach comes. I mean, what does that have to do with the sukkah shal mitzvah of Araya? Is that, as we just pointed out in Tosfos, it can't be referring to the sukkah shal mitzvah, because the sukkah shal mitzvah is not going to provide protection from the zerem u'matar, right? So why be dorish it that way? And Rabbi Zera, what in fact does he have to say in his defense? That's a pretty good point. Says the Gemara, because Rabbi Zera would tell you like this. Im kein, look, the word sukkah, I mean, why are we using the word sukkah? Usually we're talking about something that's beautiful and protective, and we call it a chuppah. Lema krav chuppah tiel etzel yomam. Why do we talk about a sukkah? Because we want you to understand that the concept of sukkah is the meaning of sochev for itself from the sun. So shmad mina tarte, that enoch inami, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be making us, of course, shelter. And secondly, that the idea, where we're marked specifically on sukkah, the idea of a sukkah is that it always has in it tzel. But what is the reason that we didn't want to say the besukkah being a diras arai? No, because, I mean, we just showed you, Abaya said, why can't you make it out of metal? I mean, who gives you the right to take the pasuk and to say, well, It doesn't really mean temporary, but it means the norm of what a temporary would be in height. I mean, that is a very serious kind of objection, and therefore we don't accept the approach that Rova took about it. Okay, now, there's going to be differences between these various approaches. And to see these differences, let's take a look at various halachas that are brought by different Amoraim and see how they are predicated on the different approaches. So first, let's take this. Now, note that this is said in the name of Rav, because we're going to see later other things said in the name of Rav that seem to contradict this. So Rav is quoted over here as saying that the whole machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda about whether it has to be Esri Mama or it's kosher, even the Malami Esri Mama, is only in a case where the walls of the sukkah do not touch the schach. So machloket b'she'in defanot magiot l'schach. And remember, those walls do not have to touch the schach. Once they are 10 tefachim high, as we're going to see later, it doesn't matter if there's all the distance in the world between them and the schach. We say that we take that wall and we extend it upwards. These are halachas we spoke about in Erevin, and we're going to be going into over here in Sukkah again as well, but we'll wait till we get there. But anyway, certainly the defanot do not need to be magiot l'schach. So what if the defanot are magiot l'schach there? It doesn't matter how high it is. What in the world would be the difference of the defanot magiot l'schach or not? So who would that be going according to? There's only one possible shita. That would be going according to Rabbah. Because the whole point that Rabbah was saying is, look, we want you to be aware of the Sukkah Shal Mitzvah, and you're not going to be aware if the schach doesn't intrude on your consciousness. But over there, that's only because he said, Bishum de lo shalta ba'ena. But once the defanot are megiot the schach, your eye is drawn upwards to that schach, and therefore you will be aware of the schach, and it will be okay. All right. And okay, and there's something else that Rav was quoted as saying, and that was that machloket b'she'in by al arba amot. That where do we say this halacha that it can't be more than 20 amot inside? Remember, referring to the inside measurement, not the outside, and not where the schach is. We're talking about it can't be more than 20 from the ground up to the schach. And here it says that's only if the sukkah was only 4 amot by 4 amot, which later on is the shita of Rebbe for the minimum measure of the sukkah. Aval yesh bo yoter mi-arba amot al arba amot, if it's more than 4 amot by 4 amot, doesn't matter how tall it is. Afilu lemala mi-esrim amak shera. So who would that work out according to? Well, that would work out clearly according to Rebbe Zeira. Right? In other words, Rebbe Zeira was the one who said that the only problem is that you've got to have a patch of shade on the ground, and you won't have it. Okay, I mean, obviously there's a point at which you will have it. So we're saying over here it's more than 4 by 4, so then the patch on the ground is now a tzel sukkah. Tosis points out, it doesn't make sense that this is an abrupt transition from no tzel to yes tzel, but that there will be, can Richie please mute? But there will, we love hearing you, but we love watching you more. So according to this, now you took away both. So according to this, says Tosus, there would need to be a geometric relationship between the width of the sukkah and the height of the sukkah. So obviously, it doesn't mean any amount is going to be. It just means we gradually increase the height proportionately to the width. Okay. So given the Revicha Iketzel Sukkah, now we have another mimer that's also quoted from Rav. Kamana Zahodiyam Rav Chanan Baraba Omer Rav. So with that, as Rashi points out, we all often have Amoroi that are saying over Rav, and they may disagree. And that happens very often. The Rav discussed various approaches to the halacha and so on. So okay, so over here, Rav is quoted, this time by Rav Chanan Baraba, as saying, where do we say that we have a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda about how high the sukkah can be, whether it's possible, if it's a malami gavoa mias esrim ama, that's dafka, if it's such a small sukkah that it is only machazeket rosho Rubo v'shulchan. And that we'll see later on is a sukkah of 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim. But once it's more than that, machzeket yoter mechdei rosho rubo v'shulchano, afilo lemala miyesrim amakshera, then it would be kosher. Who's that going like? That's not going like anybody. That's the lok echad, because it does not make sense to say that it's going to be the difference between Sheva Tvachim and more than Sheva Tvachim. That's not going to make a difference in any of these. So there must be another reason that Rav Chanan understands, which is a fourth reason that isn't mentioned above for why it would be possible. Now, Tosfos says maybe the idea over here is because the Rabbanan were gozer, that's something that looks more like a clothes hamper, or actually what he says looks more like a chicken coop. That is not roi for a diras adam to be called a dira. Okay, fine. But in any event, it certainly is not going to make the difference between getting a patch of sun at the bottom, I mean, on that small level of 7 by 7 tvachim versus the 4 by 4. So that can't be the machlokas. All right. So now we've seen that we have different approaches as to why a sukkah over esrim amos would be possible. Basically, we've got four different approaches. And now let's take a look at the differences between the various shitas of the Amoraim that we've quoted over here. And before, we talked about why the differences would be between the Tanoim. So Bishlam, the Rabbi Yoshia, Pliga, the Ravuna, Rav Chana bar Rabba. Okay, I understand that there's a fundamental difference between Rabbi Yoshia and the other two shitas, because the other two, they take a look at how wide the sukkah is, and that's the Iker problem. Whereas he does not say anything about how wide it is. He talks only about whether the walls touch the schach or don't touch the schach. Okay, so I understand that that's the fundamental question of what the whole psul is. But what in the world is the difference between Rav Huna and Rav Chanan bar Rabba? I mean, they're both talking about the impact of the width of the sukkah. So they seem to be agreeing and some basic thing, and it's the difference in the width that's going to make the difference. But we already said that 7 by 7 does not make sense, that it should make the difference, according to Rabbi Zera. So, like, what are they arguing about? So is it possible that they're not arguing at all about the question of the Makar? They're simply arguing about whether I could even address a sukkah of that is less than 4 by 4. So when we said 4 by 4, maybe that's the point, that a sukkah less than 4 by 4 won't be kosher. So name a bachelor sukkah kamiflage. So in other words, Rav Huna was saying, look, I'm not even going to discuss less than 4 by 4. I want to discuss a minimal sukkah. So minimal sukkah is 4 amas by 4 amas. Masha Einkein, if Rav Chanan bar Rabba holds, why discuss 4 by 4? I mean, we can discuss less than 4 by 4. So if you want to discuss the minimal level of a sukkah, so talk about the heksher of a sukkah. Heksher of a sukkah is 7 by 7 tvachim, and that's a sukkah that's machzekes rosho v'rubo v'shulchano. So could that be actually the machlokas about what the correct shear of a sukkah is? No, says the Gemara. I mean, why say that? It may well be that the heksher sukkah is rosho rubo v'shulchano. But again, the question is whether there's any meaning to that shear in terms of the psul of Esrim Amos. I mean, because as we said, it doesn't make sense to say that that minimal shear is going to make a difference on Liba de Rabbi Zera. I mean, it's too small for there to make the difference of whether the defanot are protecting you or whether the schach is protecting you. So that's what they're arguing in. So obviously, Rav Chanan bar Rabba holds that we do still have a machlokas in a case where it's only machzakas rubo v'shulchano, but yoter mirosho rubo v'shulchano divrei hakol k'sheira. Now, I mean, we were looking for a reason. I don't know what the reason is. The Gemara didn't supply a reason. Tosfos supplied a reason. Okay, but the Gemara didn't find it important to supply the reason. But obviously, Rav Huna holds Umar Savar, look, I mean, the machlokas would be in the minimal shear of a sukkah. Now, that could be anywhere, you know, between the minimal shear, literally, which is 7 by 7, which is machzekes rosh ruba v'shulchano, up until arba amot. But, I mean, once you get to arba amot, Over there, everybody holds that it's kosher because we're arguing only about Rebbe Zera. So, okay, over there, I understand. Once it's that broad, it's 4x4. So there we're talking about one of the primary questions about whether it's possible or not. That's a primary question, to whether we hold like Rebbe Zera or not. But to say that they're arguing on what the shear of the sukkah is, that I wouldn't say. Anyway, let's take a look at whether there's really a basis to what Ravuna or Rav Chana bar Rava said, that the whole discussion in the Mishnah is only where it's only smaller than 4x4. I mean, that for sure, right? So how is that possible? Because, look, it says in the Braita like this, Asukah shigavol amalami esrim ama psula, and Reb Yehuda says, nah, it doesn't matter, it could be 40 amas, it could be 50 amas, which means doesn't really matter one way or the other. And this is our problem. Omer Reb Yehuda, and in this Braita, Reb Yehuda brings a historical proof of a famous sukkah that was more than esrim ama. And he says, look, there was once an actual maisa with Halini Hamalka, and she had made this beautiful sukkah in Lud. And Halini Hamalka was very careful of the halakha. There's big questions about historically Halini Hamalka, whether she was a Chashmonai, in which case Mon Baz would have been a Chashmonai, would have been reckoned among the Chashmonai, or whether Halini was this Gioret who came with her son Mon Baz together, and they were Midgayer. And where was she supposed to be, Amalka? Rabbanea, I forgot the name of the place. Adibian, something like that? Yeah. Okay, never mind if it's a problem. Okay, but in any event, so she had this immense sukkah. It was more than 20 amotai. And Rabbi Yehuda points out, look, all the Talmidei Chachamim were going in to visit her during Sukkot, as she was the Kovet, as she was the Malka, you know. And they sat there, you know, and they didn't say, hey, how come you're not sitting in a kosher sukkah? It's more than 20 amot high. So, obviously, there's no problem. Now, Omru Lo, so Rebbe Yehuda says, you see that you can have a sukkah that's very high. Omru Lo, so they answered Rebbe Yehuda, they said, you can't prove anything from there. Because I got news for you. Halini Amalka was a female. Oh, didn't think of that, right? Well, since she was an Isha, I thought she's Ptura Amin Asukah. So what are they going to do? They're going to say, you're sitting in a Sukkah Psula? No. Okay, it's very nice that you're sitting outdoors. What does that have to do with the Sukkah? You're not Chayevet in a Sukkah. Omar Lemz, Rabbi Yehuda said to them, what do you mean? But she had seven sons, you know? And furthermore, koma selo astal api chachamim. Whatever she would do, she would always do api chachamim. What is that last part supposed to mean? Why did you say va'od koma selo astal api chachamim? No, because Rabbi Yehuda was saying like this. Look, are you going to tell me? Yeah, but those were little kids, and little kids are not chayev in the sukkah. So I'm telling you, she had seven kids. I mean, you think she had seven kids in one time? Or you think maybe her oldest kid was at least old enough to be mechanech, and there was a chiyuv to be mechanech in a sukkah? So given the shiva hava, there must have been one that was already beyond the stage of tzorech le'imo. We're going to see that's the shir of chinuch, that he wakes up at night and he doesn't keep crying, mommy, mommy. There must have been one of her kids that wasn't crying, mommy, mommy, at night. So now you'll tell me, says Reb Yehuda, okay, but you know, Katan Shena Tzorech Le'imo is only a mitzvah mid-Rabbanan. Maybe she didn't care about the Rabbanans, and she was only makpid on a diaraisa of Iyu b'Rabbanan lo mishkacha. Therefore, I'm telling you, that's not true. Alinia Malka, whatever she did, lo astela api chachomim. So how come the chachomim didn't tell her for the purposes of her child's chinuch that he should be sitting in a proper sukkah, huh? Anyway, so now how exactly do you understand the idea? I mean, if you're going to tell me, you want to tell me like Rab, that the only time we find this argument is if the Tfanot didn't get all the way up to the Schach. So yes, that it's very likely that Halini Amalka was indeed sitting in a sukkah that was not all the way up to the Schach. Why? Because it needs air conditioning. So, I mean, she would build a sukkah. So obviously she left for ventilation on top. I mean, that's very normal. So fine, then he's bringing a good raya. See, she was sitting in a sukkah, she'ena magiyas l'schach, and nonetheless, nobody said anything to her. It was l'malam yesri mama. So you see that I'm right. But if you're going to tell me that the machlokas is only m'man di'omer b'sukkah k'tana machlokas, you're telling me that the great queen is sitting in this tiny little sukkah, you know, because, I mean, if she was sitting in a normal-sized sukkah that's more than 4 amas by 4 amas, many people make bigger sukkahs than that. So then, of course, there was no problem. So the rabbanon should have laughed at Rabbi Yehuda. I don't understand what you're telling us, Araya. We don't argue with you in a big sukkah. A queen sits in a big sukkah. So why are you bringing us Araya from her? That doesn't make sense. Therefore, it's clear that the machlokas is even in a big sukkah, see? So this seems to very clearly tell us that those approaches that say the machlokas is only in a sukkah, that ain't ba'ar ba'ar ba, Rabbi Yehuda himself is saying that that's not true. Otherwise, he wouldn't be bringing such a silly proof. Omer Rabba Bar Avada, no, what we're talking about, sukkahs that are made like little bedrooms, kitoniot, kitoniot. So that was like there were little, she had a lot of different, you know, places. And but every person, you know, sat, she had her own little room, you know, and it was only Shiva Tvachim, Shiva Tvachim, barely enough room to sit down in, according to that Ma'adi Omer. Okay, what? And this answers the problem? You're telling me that a Malka sits in a sukkah, Hasuya Kitoniot, Kitoniot, I understand what, it's a closet, a holiday of booths, indeed, yes, very good. So, Ravashi, no. Of course she had a sukkah. What's the matter with you? She had a big sukkah, right? It was an enormous sukkah. 100,000 people could sit in her sukkah. So what do you think? She went to sleep in a sukkah of 100,000 people? You don't think she had like a little office maybe or a bedroom in the sukkah? Those are kitoniot in the sukkah. That's the point. So when she would be sitting in the kitoniot, and therefore the rabbanon should have said to her that, well, you know, if you're gonna bring your kids in over there, so they should have said it's not a kosher sukkah because it's very small, it's less than arba al arba, less than shiva al shiva. So the rabbanon hold that baneha the sukkah ma'ayave yasvi. Why would she bring her kids into the bedroom? You know, she wants to get some sleep after all. She lets them sleep in that big public room in the dining room where there's a bunch of beds, you know, where everybody puts their kids on sukkahs. Fine. And she was in her private bedroom. And therefore, they didn't say anything to her because she is a woman and she's not chayevet. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I'm telling you, you don't think her sons would sit with her to keep mommy company sometimes and eat breakfast with her, whatever. So, and they still didn't say anything. So it shows that nobody cared that the sukkah was more than 20 amos high. Okay, so far we have our first halacha in the Mishnah. That's all that we've discussed. Not any of the other things about it can't be too low and it can't have schach where it would be chamatam meruba betzelta. We haven't talked about that directly, and we've got three major approaches to why it is that the sukkah would have to be specifically less than 20 amos. One is that you need to be aware. In which case, if the schach would go all the way up, maybe you would be aware. Lemaisa, halacha lemaisa, we don't paskin like that. And halacha lemaisa lemalam yesrim ama, as the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, takes the exact lashon of the Rambam, none of these limitations are true. The sukkah gavol lemalam yesrim ama is possible in any and all circumstances, although there are rishonim that actually do paskin at halacha. That's not the way the Shulchan Aruch goes. So that would be one approach. Our other approach would be that it's because of the fact that it's something that doesn't give you tzel directly from the schach. And the other approach is it's too permanent of a type of building, meaning the height of the building, and it's too similar to permanence, and the Torah prevented you. And according to Tosis, we had the fourth approach that, look, this is not a house. This is a chicken coop. Who wants to live in a chicken coop? But, I mean, whatever alternatives there are to that particular approach, it's clearly not looked at as a midira. It's not a din in a dira.